You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
They don't boo the irrelevant Jerry Gardner. They only boo the legend.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Big final hour. The Leafs are in action tonight. The Raptors are in action tonight. Audible at the line by Nick Nurse and the Raptors. Kyle Lowry, earlier this afternoon, it was our understanding he won't be playing. And now it sounds like he's going to play. So that's Kyle cool. said, forget it, I'm going, man. I want to play, and I'm ready to play, and tonight's a big game, and they're coming off a loss last night against Boston. I love that. Lowry is older. He just went through an injury, like a legitimate this-season back injury, but Kawhi's not playing tonight. Kawhi has not been injured. He's had some nicks and bruises, but last year, I understand it. He missed a lot of games and the quad injury and all that, but if Kyle's going tonight, why can't Kawhi step in and say, you know what, forget it, I'm going tonight too. You don't need them both because Phoenix, they're not a very good team. They're a terrible team.
What's the name of that team again? The
Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Somebody sent us a note saying Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Barcelona recently.
Won the Champions League or something.
Yeah, but so at least you know Barcelona yourself. Is in Europe. The Maccabi Tel Aviv team beat the Raptors back in like 06. That was a preseason game, but still.
It still chaps your ass, too.
I remember watching it because Anthony Parker was on that team, and they signed Parker the next year. And I remember thinking, we'll check this out. It's a preseason game. And I'm watching it. I'm like, they're going to lose to this team from Israel. Like, what's happening here?
You're so rattled.
Yeah, it still rattles my cage. So anyway, Lowry's going tonight. Kawhi will not go. The Leafs, we know, in Tampa. Biggest game of the year. Chalk it up. It's on the marquee.
Yep.
They're coming off an awful effort a couple of nights ago at home against Colorado. And they're saying all the right things. They're showing respect and love for Tampa. And it's reciprocal. Right. Everyone on Tampa knows that the Leafs are talented. But, I declared this earlier today. It's not about the style of play and the performance and the effort. It's about the result for me.
Right.
You know, hopefully they both align where they play the way they did in Tampa a month ago, but the score reverses, justifiably so. Instead of you losing 4-1 when you play great, you win 4-1 tonight. You feel good. You go into Florida. You take care of a wounded animal tomorrow night. Come home, and it's like, all right, we forgot all about it.
Exactly.
It's really easy for the Leafs to do that. They win tonight, and tomorrow they come home. People will be like, Colorado who?
Yeah, exactly.
Jake Gardner booing what? It'll be totally forgotten. But you lose tonight, you lose tomorrow. Whew.
Yeah, it would be. But
Where are we standing Sunday night when Arizona
and people
through?
Behind them keep winning, and then it tightens up even more. It's like the comfort zone is gone.
But the key word is if. Like, you know, even if you lost tonight, let's just say if, again, like, Florida's ripe. The Panthers are ripe, too. Like, you know, I don't see it as a scenario. Now, Florida, I think, has lost two or three in a row, so they're going to be hungry.
They're a terrible team anyway. Right. They're done.
But that's what I'm saying. So that's what you're saying. Like, if they lost tonight,
I know. It's a hypothetical.
I think they split the trip at worst.
You think they're getting at least 2 points out of Florida? I think so, too.
Out of the state of Florida.
Yes.
Maybe tonight, and then the Panthers catch him off guard, like, or Louis stands on his head or something like that.
Well, I guess, who's playing tomorrow night? Is it Sparks? Has he been officially cleared?
Yeah. He backed up the other night.
No, I know that, but you know how it is. Sometimes somehow goalies are like, yeah, I can back up, but I'm not ready to start.
Yeah.
He's a backup anyway, so he didn't have an option. Freddie was playing.
I would imagine that Sparks is playing tomorrow.
I don't even think you can really do that, Brian. You say I'm backing up, you have to be ready to go in the net.
Yeah, you have to be ready to
Noodles,
play.
Noodles, you know it happens.
It's happened to me. I mean,
starters have been like, I can back up, but I can't play.
I had a broken thumb in San Jose once.
Bobby Mack through the back door.
Just walks in, eh?
In through the outdoor, the old Zeppelin routine.
I love it.
Hello, fellas.
What's up, Bob?
Same old, same old.
We didn't make you run over here, did we?
Not at all. I didn't want to be late, though.
No.
This is outstanding. Anything cooking out there or what? I mean, the trade bait board's off and running. How are we feeling about the trade deadline?
Well, another deal today. It's not an insignificant deal. I mean, you know, Nino Niederreiter, he hasn't played well. Victor Rask, he hasn't played well. Well, one guy makes over $5 million a year. The other guy makes over $4 million a year. They're both on multi-year deals. So it's the definition of a hockey trade, which everybody used to complain we don't get very many of. And both sides are hoping that a change of scenery is going to maybe impact here. And the interesting thing for me, not that it's a big deal, but Carolina actually picked up money in the deal, which is to say they are going to spend more. The guy they brought in is making more than the guy that left.
Right.
And that doesn't happen very often in Carolina, so it'll be interesting to see. Now, I think there's other deals to come. Carolina, we've talked ad nauseum about moving a defenseman, whether it's Dougie Hamilton or Brett Pesce or Justin Falk, whatever the case may be. They're going to move a defenseman for a forward. It's just a matter of time and which defenseman.
I always love, like, who's going to sniff around on Dougie Hamilton? Can you not sniff out that there's possibly something there that's not a positive?
Well, what
6 foot three, 220 pounds. As someone once said, skates like a deer.
Well, I was going to take 20 first round picks for that deal to go down. Remember? Maybe we'd trade Dougie Hamilton if we received 20, maybe it was 15 first-round picks.
So what are you going to do, sniff around and take a shot at that
but
guy?
But why is he available? He's been there for 4 months.
Because there's a problem.
Well, that and the fact, I think, in they've decided that Jacob Slavin is the untouchable defenseman on that blue line. And so whether it's and so all these guys, Pesce, Slavin, and Falk, they're all right-hand shots.
Yeah.
So Slavin's a left-handed
and,
shot.
Pardon?
Slavin's left-handed.
Slavin's left. Yeah. So they've got a wealth of NHL defensemen who play the right side.
Yeah.
So and they don't have enough scoring up front, so move one of those defensemen. And they're not, I don't think they're fussy. I mean, I think they're getting more action on Pesce than they are on Hamilton for all the Hamilton trade rumors. But Hamilton's more of an identifiable name and who has been, you know, a first-round pick who's been traded multiple times.
But that's, here's a guy who, I'm just going through it quickly, 42, 43, 50, and 44. That's the point totals for Dougie Hamilton.
Look at his goal totals. Year.
Yeah, like 10, 12, 13, 17. He's got six this year. Like, that's a guy that produces points, and that's where you start to dig deeper, is what else does he do or does he not?
Well, like, no kidding.
I think you can figure
but
out
he, but he's farther do. Down. Like, right now, I did the Carolina game the other day. I'm doing it tomorrow. He's on the third pairing. And there's a guy who's a 40-point guy.
But doesn't this lead us into the Jake Gardner conversation?
That's why I was just, that's where
Jake
I'm headed.
Jake Gardner, where everyone was saying, and you brought this point up, he's a 50-point guy. What does it mean if you've got deficiencies elsewhere? You know, what does it mean if you can't defend? And I'm not saying Jake can't defend all the time or Hamilton, but 50-point, the name of the position is defenseman.
Right.
Yeah, but I think the thing with Jake is, and again, we can get into this debate all day, but to me, it's not that he can't defend. It's that when he makes mistakes, they tend to be the most glaring variety. And, you know, and I mean, it's hard to rinse the -5 in game 7.
Yeah,
that's hard.
Right.
That's hard baggage to get rid of. But if you look at in O's favorite line, underlying numbers, the reality is that when Jake Gardner's on the ice, more often than not, the Toronto Maple Leafs are in the other end of the ice creating offense as opposed to playing defense. So I know that the eye test says big bad giveaway, big bad fall down, -5, this, that, and everything else. But some of the numbers don't lie. That the Maple Leafs are a better team as a rule when he's on the ice than not.
Here's a question for you. Sorry. If you can make that work, just hypothetical because that's how we work, but Jake Gardner for Dougie Hamilton. Now, term is involved and stuff like that, but if it was just a hockey trade.
Well, it's a right-sided defenseman for a left-side. That's where they need their help.
That's I'm just saying. And it would take more, in my opinion, because Jake's on an expiring contract, Dougie's not. That's the type of deck shuffling we're talking about. A 50-point defenseman, a 40-point defenseman, right-handed shot. Both seems to have warts in the
Something's up.
No kidding. And that's why I like to do, like, Bob talks to GMs, executive. I talk to players, and I'm like, why do you get rid of Dougie Hamilton?
Well, you do your due diligence on players. That's for sure. But that's what it is. Like, you have to be looking at that type of production, because production matters in today's game.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, as for the Leafs, you know, you've been reporting the first-round pick this year is up for grabs. If the right deal materializes, Kapanen and Janssen, they're up on the trade bait board. Those seem to be the three primary.
Yeah, those are the big pieces.
He must hate writing that
board. Who, Frank?
Like, when you write that board and you put that board up, like your phone, you just must want to throw it in a pool.
Oh, my God. As I jokingly referred to on the Bobcast today, talking about Frank and the trade bait board, I said the first thing, it's fraught with peril, because in order to do the board, you're basically in daily consultation with the quizmaster.
Yeah.
And the quizmaster is a detail-oriented individual who likes things done a certain way, and that can sometimes be taxing. Now, the flip side, as I said, is if you get to know Frank a little bit, that can be a walk in the park, too. So, anyways, I had some good fun with that on the Bobcast today, talking about, but to your point, you're right. I mean, you know, I'm sure Ottawa is sitting there looking at Matt Duchene at number one on the trade bait list, and they're going, "Hey, time out. We're trying to sign the guy right now. We're not trying to trade him."
Was the first call to Frank?
Who knows? But I can, you know, the funny thing is, and I was talking to Frank about this. Number one is Duchene on the trade bait board. Number 45 is Stone.
Exactly.
He's last.
Yeah.
And they're both in the exact same situation. There's a perception that maybe Stone would be more inclined to stay than Duchene, I guess. I'm not sure that necessarily holds true.
Do you not agree that Duchene is saying the same things that John Tavares was saying last year? You know, I like it here. I'd like to stay. This is a process. This is my first kick at the can. You know, these are early discussions. And it's just that ends up being, I'm out of here.
Yeah, although the way it's different is Tavares was the franchise player for the New York Islanders. And he was there from day one of his career to that moment. And he had deep, deep, deep roots. Matt Duchene doesn't have deep roots in Ottawa.
No,
he doesn't need to.
I'm just talking about the language. The language is exactly
If Matt Duchene decides that he wants to go, he doesn't owe anybody anything.
Right.
He can just say, hey, you know what? You traded for me. It didn't work out. I get this once-in-a-lifetime chance to be an unrestricted free agent. I'm out of here. See you later.
I don't blame him.
And he's not going to worry about it in the least, and the Sens aren't going to waste any time. They'll say, hey, he's available in trade. Let's get this done. Let's maximize our return on this guy. A little different for Stone. You got to be, I think, a little more careful and prudent and that. But so to that point, I could be wrong on this. I might be really naive on this. I think there's a chance that Duchene's actually considering staying, but no guarantee whatsoever that he would, because I'd have to wait and see what the offer is. And as I've said from the get-go, if Ottawa is not going to overpay these guys, then I'd be hard-pressed to think, why would they want to stay for the rebuild?
Well, you know, back to that first-round pick from the Leafs, we were talking about it yesterday, that not a lot of news comes out of that team, and this is out there, and you guys have it.
Yeah, Pierre reported that. I was sick this week, so I missed my.
I missed my
insider trading duties on Tuesday because I wasn't feeling well. But I think it just goes without saying that it's potentially available for the right player and the right fit, and you know, and how the Leafs perform between now and the deadline might go into how eager are we to start mortgaging the future for this year. But I still think all along we've said the Leafs want to get better. They want to get defensemen, younger defensemen, under term for a while. This is not a case of let's get our first round pick and trade it for Alex Edler.
Yeah, do something like Edler's Tampa available. Did last year.
They like got, a McDonough move.
They got McDonough. They got JT Miller. Both guys are
well, they're able to keep
sticking around.
And they locked them both in long term.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's easier said than done, I would think.
Exactly.
But, you know, why should we be anything but pessimistic and negative when it comes to this World Cup announcement yesterday? Like, fans...
Funny you should mention that, because I just talked about that a little bit on Insider Trading, and I talked about it at length on the Bobcast today. Because they just ran out of time. There was such a pressing issue. In order to have the World Cup in 2020, like, a month ago, you needed to be starting on all the ticket sales and the marketing and nailing down
the logistics. Was it going to be in Toronto again? Was that the plan?
I don't know what the plan was necessarily. I assume so, but I don't know that. I think it would have got a lot more complicated if it wasn't. But in any case, in order just to meet the logistical hurdles of that, they needed like a month or two, 6 months ago really, to start. But they were giving it up till around now. And what they decided was, you know what, we can't guarantee, nobody can guarantee us that there's not going to be a labor stoppage in 2020. But that doesn't mean there's going to be. And in fact, the negotiations that they had, and I say they ran out of time on the World Cup, they still got 7 to 8 months before the reopeners hit. September 1st of this year, the NHL has the ability to say, we want out of the CBA. And on September 15th, 2020, it's gone, no CBA. And if the league doesn't do that, and I don't believe that there's a desire on the part of the league, I mean, they tried to just trade off Olympic participation to maintain the status quo. Gary Bettman said to the Players Association, if we'll go to the Olympics if you guys extend CBA to 22 or 23. Yeah, and the players would go, we're not doing that. Fair enough. I don't blame them necessarily. But what it was an indication the owners like this CBA. They don't have any big, big axes to grind right now. So they're kind of cool with the status quo. The players aren't. Right. So now they'll lose again. Yeah, but they obviously they want to try to do something to mitigate escrow. They want to, right. There's some mechanisms. They want a little something something. They don't just want to say, yeah, we'll go to the Olympics and we'll give you a labor peace. They want a little something something, or maybe more than a little something something, and they've got 7 months to try and get it, because the players' opener is September 15th of this year. And I'm not going to give any doom and gloom scenarios on the CBA and a potential lockout in 2020 until I see how the next 7 to 8 months go. I think there's a chance, I'm not guaranteeing it, but I think there's a chance they can get a deal done between now and September 15th of this year. And if they do, then we've got labor peace. And if they don't, then the worst that happens is we know that the CBA then expires on September 15th, 2020, and they've got a full year working with that deadline to try and ensure there's not a lockout. So I think they got two kicks at the can. A 7 to 8 month window now that would guarantee labor peace. But if they don't get that settlement, then they've got another full year after that to try and avoid what would, and inevitably, if there's going to be a lockout, you know it's not going to be 3 weeks. It's not 3 to 6 weeks lockout. It's more likely to be 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, it'll be a 48-game season again. They'll come down to the deadline.
Probably.
But as I say,
I think we're way, way too eager, because why wouldn't we be? Because the National Hockey League has been the lockout league.
Right. They deserve that reputation.
They deserve that. But in 2004 and 2012 or 13, whatever year it was, we knew that the owners wanted a salary cap system in 2004 and were prepared to shut down for the year to get it. We knew that. That was guaranteed that with lockout was happening. And the same deal in 2012-13, when we knew the owners wanted to go from 57-58%, the players getting that share, to a 50-50 on player cost, we knew that they would go to war over that to get those takebacks.
Right, right.
There doesn't appear to be, at face value, takebacks on the NHL owner side for the first time ever. That's why there might be some optimism. Then it's up to the players to decide how far they can push and what they can claw back to make this deal palatable to them to avoid going to a lockout.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope.
Right away we were like, yeah, we'll give 24%. Remember when we trimmed 24%?
24% of our salaries.
Like right away. We're like, I remember being a part of those calls and being like, what is going on?
That was on like, 05, you mean?
Whatever you signed, yeah. Like 24% was just
rollback.
Gone.
Yeah.
Rollback. That was the rollback.
I was like, the hell?
That's how you started your negotiation.
Like $3.5 million, and you're going to take 24%.
It was kind of. I don't even remember if it was a start or somewhere. I can't remember the timeline, but
our big push.
It made escrow look like a charitable donation.
Yeah, like it was just like whatever you sign for, 24% of it is just gone. Well, and then we'll start. Let's start negotiating. You're like, I don't know if that worked.
Yeah, well, it clearly didn't, because they took it anyway put a cap.
Those were not fun times.
No, they were not.
Well, we'll see.
I don't really want to cover another lockout, but I'm probably not going to anyway, so.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter to
we'll
you.
We'll be there.
It matters to everybody, and it does matter to everybody.
Let's hope it doesn't happen.
We won't.
I mean, I understand everyone's got, you got a lot of, a lot of busy schedules and a lot of different details you got. But what bothers me about this is, you just mentioned it, we got 7-8 months to figure one out, and then beyond that, you got 19 months. Let's not wait 6.5 months to get back on the table.
They're further along now than they've ever been. And there's probably more common ground now than there's ever been. And I don't think either side's spoiling for a fight, but it still could end up there. You know, who's kidding who?
No kidding. Yeah. All right, Bob.
All right. By the way, Noodles, I'm off to Lethbridge on Saturday night.
Wow.
Big hurricane night. So anybody you need me to say hi for?
Peter Anholt.
Absolutely. Peter's a good man.
He's a great man. There's a lot of people kicking around.
What's
there.
Going on out there in Lethbridge?
Just a celebrity dinner. I'm eager to go out and find out who they got as their celebrity.
Well, might be Noodles.
Well, not last year it was me and Natasha. This year it's Bobby Mack.
Wow. Oh, Bob, you're the VIP.
Guy. I'm the guest of honor, I guess.
The guy. There's a,
is that a speech?
Or actually,
it's more.
Hold on, it was me, Natasha, and Kate.
So look,
so they're bringing
go.
It. There was three of us.
So that was like a rose between two thorns.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, believe me.
All the star power of the three of you adds up to one Bob.
Exactly.
McKenzie.
But it's a great event. You'll
it should be good.
Fun.
Now I think they weren't keen on a big speech, which worked for me. More of a hot stove sort of ask questions,
round table,
have some fun.
The Lethbridge Brian Hayes will be there, just grilling you on a Q&A.
Oh yeah,
that'd
be great.
I can't wait for that. Well, enjoy it, Bob.
Yeah, it should be fun. And then I'm hanging out in Calgary for Red Deer for the prospects game on Wednesday, doing the draft rankings next week. So
yeah.
Busy week.
Oh, beautiful, man. We're off and running.
Should be good.
All right, boys.
See you, Bob. There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. The Bobcast up online on iTunes, TSN.ca, the whole nine. And Spotify, you can find it on Spotify. You can find Overdrive there as well.
Everywhere, apparently.
Just get everything. Rubber Boots, everyone's podcast.
Anytime our podcast struggles, how many notes do we get?
See, Duffy's on another vacation?
Yeah, he's down at Turks again.
This guy just has a great life.
No one posts Instagram stories like Duffy in Turks and Caicos.
It's the best.
Oh, it's just
living
such
his
a troll
life.
Job.
He does live
I'm
a good
physically
life.
Jealous. Like,
yeah.
You know when jealousy actually makes you feel like,
That's Duffy's life.
I can
life.
Feel it, too. I'm with you there. Well, it's minus infinity outside in Toronto, and it's supposed to be awful all weekend. Anyway.
See you, boys.
See you, bud. See you, we're off to Vegas. I mean, that's a troll job for a lot of people because we're going to be heading to Vegas in about a month. And we've been talking with a lot of different people, and a lot of different people have been putting in their resumes as to why they should be joining us in Vegas. Say I do with the Overdrive crew. We're going to bring a couple of people in, and we'll grill them. A little bit of a Q&A. We'll see if maybe they can meet the cut. We'll find out. We'll get Ashley and Chad in studio. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we're streaming online, tsn.ca as always. We're up on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVRs. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later on the TSN app, on TSN radio. It's a big, big segment for us because we've been kind of trolling people for a couple of months. We're going to Vegas.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to Vegas.
I'm not
going
to be honest with you. When we first did this, like, thing to Vegas, I thought no people would want to go with us.
I actually was concerned that
what did you think?
I was thinking crickets.
I thought maybe like 17 people and they would be like, nah, like we're joking type of thing. Like when we heard there was a ton of people.
Yeah, upwards of like 400 or 500 people sent in.
It's crazy.
Their submissions. So we're talking 400 or 500 couples.
Yes.
And I keep getting people sending me tweets and messages on Instagram asking if they can still get in. Sadly, the deadline is passed, but we had a bunch of people that submitted their resumes and officially became contestants for the Say I Do trip in Vegas, where we're asking people if they want to get married or renew their vows with us, and flights, accommodations provided by our friends at tripcentral.ca. And we've been calling a few people over the last couple of months as well. And we actually have one caller in studio. Ashley is in here. Ashley, we caught up with you, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago? Not even that long ago. Last week?
Last Friday, yeah.
Last Friday. Okay, Ashley's in here, and your fiance, Chad?
Yeah.
Chad, this is the first time catching up with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me in.
Thank you for coming in. Yeah. How did
Looks
you feel
like
about
a rock star.
I gotta be honest.
Yes.
Because you're in a band, right?
And yeah.
You're a musician, and obviously you got the girl I read about an hour ago on Uber Facts, which is never fake news. Women are 31% more likely to give their number to a man if he's holding a guitar.
So guitar guy.
Guitar guy.
Woman.
Is that what happened here or what?
Well,
pretty accurate, yeah.
Well, Ashley and I actually went to the same high school, but we didn't know each other at that point. She's a few years older than me, but I clearly doesn't
boy.
Look it.
Nice line, Chad.
Well, when Ashley actually moved back from England when she was going to law school there, she came to check us out, my band playing downtown at the Cameron House, and that's actually probably the first time we really
sidled up there and got my Got my good words in. Yeah.
Chipped away.
Nice.
Yeah, I got the number, but didn't happen for a while. But yeah.
Oh, is that right? You didn't friend zone her.
But how did you even know that this was a dude you went to high school with?
I didn't. I had to be told. Yeah. I heard. Apparently, he knew who I was, but I didn't know who he was.
Oh, so. Really? Classic.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So, did you hear Ashley on with us last week?
I did. Yeah.
How'd you feel about her appearance?
I thought she was amazing.
You're very good.
She sounded like a veteran.
Yeah, she did. She sounded like one of the a fan.
Yeah.
And you guys are both fans of the show. I believe, I figure
that you might need a new co-anchor here.
Well, absolutely. We're always taking vacation.
We're going to fire
personal days.
Yeah, exactly.
We're calling games. So.
We're close to firing Peg Bundy anyway.
Well, that's true. My wife, that's more behind the scenes.
Yeah,
that's
behind
the
scenes.
She seems pretty enthusiastic.
Yeah. She is. She's
we goof on her, but she puts in a lot of work. And
allegedly.
Well... Yes, depending on who's around.
Depending on who's
witnessing that,
exactly.
that work.
She's one of those people that works really hard when people are watching.
Oh. Right.
I believe they call that working smarter, not harder. So she's on to something.
No,
she knows exactly
what she's
doing. So tell us quickly here, why do you guys want to come along for the ride here? Why do you want to be with us three in Vegas and get married? I mean, take us through that thought process.
So, I mean, obviously, it kind of seems a bit crazy, considering we seem like pretty normal folks. But, I mean, honestly, I think it will just be, like, so much fun. And we're not, like, I'm not a typical bride. I don't really care about the big wedding and the whatever. I just want, you know, booze, food, and speeches. And, like, even if the speeches don't happen, they can happen later. So... to me, we're huge fans of the show. We'd love to party with you guys. We've been listening to you guys for years, so it's like, yeah, we've heard a lot about what goes on and would love to actually
We want to see
out.
Behind the curtain, really.
Yeah.
We just want to see what you guys actually
watch what
see.
You wish for. Yeah. This is dangerous.
I really want to get hooked up to an IV bag in Vegas noodles.
That's yes. Hangover
noodles,
heaven.
That is going to be your responsibility us anyway.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I will put the order in. I think you can order it actually online, hangoverheaven.com.
I gave you my Hangover Heaven hat recently.
Yes.
I haven't seen
right.
you wearing it recently.
You know what?
It used to be your go-to.
You know what we will do is we'll earn Hangover Heaven hats. That's the possibility.
Which happens the night before.
Well,
you earn the hat by what's going on the
night
before.
They bring them in. They do everything for you. So,
well,
yes.
It's very enticing. You know, we thank everyone for sending us emails and everyone that's been involved in this. Always got the briefcase. I'm sure you guys are aware of that if you're fans. Do you have anything in the briefcase?
I do. The briefcase is always fully stocked and loaded.
What do you got in
with
there?
With notes and memos from various people, bosses, etc.
Putting in homework.
Crackers.
Oh,
dear Ashley and Chad, Mr. Brian Hayes, Mr. Jeff O'Neill, and Mr. Jamie Noodles McLennan would like to formally invite you to Say I Do with Overdrive on February 14th in Las Vegas. The boys would be honored to stand by your side to say I do. You're not just contestants. You're the winners. Congratulations.
You guys are in. You're coming to Vegas.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks, guys.
How does it feel? You're riding shotgun. We're riding shotgun with you guys. We're going
passengers.
To a wedding in Vegas.
That
can't wait.
That is amazing. I don't have to plan a wedding. All right.
Yes, you're in. We'll plan it for you, courtesy of our friends at tripcentral.ca, accommodations, everything. We're going to the Leaf game on the Thursday night. Are you guys geared up for that?
You guys do know you have to tell your parents, though.
Oh, they are already want to come. Like
they're already
have,
so everybody's on board.
We
they have their flights on hold.
Yeah, like, literally our friends are like booked like flights, like they've been scouting out prices. So we have probably about 10 or 15 people already want to come.
Bring
so,
whoever you want. Yep. We've got the chapel set up for you guys. We'll be groomsmen.
we
got it all set up.
Well, who gets to be a bridesmaid?
Well, we can be bridesmaids. Do you want one of us
I'll
to be?
I'll say go.
Oh, you're a bridesmaid.
You don't have to wear a dress.
All right. I'll wear a light colored suit, something. I don't know.
Something floral.
It'll be different, yeah.
All right, Noodles and I, we're with you, Chad.
Stuck with us.
We'll whatever you need. Speeches. We'll be
speeches,
there.
Yeah.
Riding shotgun with you guys. We can't wait for it. And,
we're
really, really excited.
Yeah,
so I hope you guys are too.
We are thrilled.
Awesome. So thank you so much for doing this and for submitting it and being along for the ride. And what are you guys expecting now that it's real news? It's not fake news.
Golf, what are you expecting? Whiskey, IVs, poolside if they got it.
Yeah.
Top boy, golf. Chad.
We're going to diet real hard until then.
Clean up.
Yes.
See, Top Golf. We talked about this Top Golf.
You guys sell noodles.
We could have played golf on the Wednesday. Chad, Mulls, you, and myself. Instead, we're going to Topgolf.
That's fine. We don't have any plans yet. We're going to figure this out when we get down there.
Ashley can golf, too. You know?
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, you got to be by yourself the day
before. Is this my bachelor party?
Yeah. This is the bachelor party.
Yeah.
Well, oh, you're a bridesmaid. You're with Ashley. It's bachelor.
Yeah, you're on the bachelorette.
You guys are on the bachelorette.
How can we handle that?
Yeah. So we're out of here in less than a month. So congratulations, guys. We can't wait for it.
Thank you so
much. Great to have you guys in here. Again, we want to thank TripCentral.ca for hooking us up with the accommodations and flights. And
thanks to everybody else who rolled out.
Everybody. Like, hundreds and hundreds of people. A ton of incredible stories and details. And we can't thank everyone enough.
And we'll be doing it next year, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully we keep it rocking. And Chad and Ashley, you guys have to represent all the people, all the submissions.
We'll work out the kinks this year, I guess.
There you go. Work out the kinks, and we'll get rocking in Vegas. We'll see you guys in less than a month.
Awesome.
All right, thanks, guys. Ashley and Chad getting married in Vegas.
Wow.
Bridesmaid, couple of groomsmen. We can't wait for it.
Hang it's going to be pumped up.
Everyone's exactly, jacked up. Yes, I think we're more excited.
I know.
It's not our wedding. And we're
like
more
planning,
excited.
Like, okay, Hangover Heaven, Top Golf. We got to do all these things.
Yeah, so we're all going to be included in the details. We can't wait for it. And Leafs Golden Knights.
Yeah.
It's go time.
Don't forget the rings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Make sure you guys are on top of everything.
It's going to happen in a month. We'll figure
Don't worry about it. It's Vegas. It doesn't matter. You got a lot of time. We'll figure it out when we get down there if we have to. Leafs Lightning tonight. Raps Suns. We'll tee those games up. We'll get to our best bets next. All right, that was very cool. Again, shout out to Ashley and Chad. They're on their way to Vegas with us next month, and they're getting married in Vegas with the Overdrive crew. That's very cool. Very nice
very
people.
Fun.
We really appreciate their fandom and their submission, and we're happy to kind of be along for the ride. And we can't stress this enough. Anyone that sent us an email, and we wish we could bring everybody.
Ideally
you wish you could bring everybody, but hopefully if we're lucky we can keep doing this in the future.
Absolutely. And there were some great stories and people that were very creative to write in, and cartoons and emails and all sorts of things that it just it was out of our hands, but ultimately I enjoyed the process of this. And it shows that people are quite passionate, and there were people that were getting married for the first time, renewing vows. Like, there's so many different stories. It was really cool to read through.
Yeah, it was very cool. And in Vegas, a lot of our Leafs Win, You Win contestant winners, they're going to be down there too.
Yeah.
Because that's what we've been giving away on the station all year. When the Leafs win on our station the next morning on Landsberg, or first up, I used Landsberg in the morning. First stop with Landsberg and Koliakova. They've been giving away trips to Vegas. So it's going to be a bunch of people from Toronto, a lot of big Leaf fans
there. And should be a good contingent of people.
Be a very good crowd. And that'll be the case tonight in Tampa.
Yep.
There's always Leaf fans in Tampa. Tomorrow night in Florida, half the building will be Leaf fans.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, tonight it's go time because they've lost 5 of 7 in regulation. They've allowed the pack to catch up to them. Boston, Montreal, and Buffalo are right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not panic time by any stretch, but
it's
the standings,
a little bit of gut check time. That's what it is.
The standings look different today than they did 2 weeks ago. Two weeks ago, you're like, they're gone. They're 10 points, 11 points in. They're not 10 or 11 points in anymore.
No, and teams have been consistently winning and kind of hanging around. Boston lost last night, but that was a back-to-back. But it's still, you know, it helps in that scenario. Buffalo won, so they're hanging around. Montreal is hanging around. I think when the dust settles, those teams will push down. I think Boston will be right there. I still believe it's Tampa, Boston, Leafs in any different order. I mean, between Boston and Toronto.
Yeah, the top three in the division.
Exactly. But it is a good gut check time, and it's also a good reality check, too. Like, this is a very good team, but it also there is other very good teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost a little bit of an eye-opener for people that follow the team, people that are on the team, like, hey, we've had a great season so far, but so have other organizations. So we've got to find a way to keep this train rolling. And it has been a bit of a struggle recently, but Tampa's going to have a stretch where they struggle too. I wholeheartedly believe that.
I think so, but I've been waiting for it, and it's been 45 games, and they haven't even come close.
But last year, they were a train that was just mowing everyone, and then they hit the ditch a little bit too.
The truth is, it probably doesn't matter now. Like, they're 16 points up on the Leafs. Even if they lose 3 or 4 in a row, they're still going to be 9 points up.
I know. I'm not talking about points coming back to the pack. I'm just saying, like, there is going to be a time where Tampa has lost four of five or three of four, and you're like, well, you know, Hedman doesn't look that good right now. He's a little nicked up, or Vasilevsky's got pulled, or, you know, that type of stuff. It happens. So how you come out of it, and this is how what I'm pointing at the Toronto Maple Leafs, this is an opportunity tonight to really make a statement, not only to the fans and everyone else, but, like, to yourselves. Hey, like, we've been kind of in a little bit of a funk here. Look, this is a real good litmus test for us. This is the team that's been dominating the league. We can go into their building and put on a show here. We can come out of this and get the train headed in the other direction.
Absolutely.
And it's an opportunity instead of, to me, an indictment.
Well, it's an opportunity not only to pick up points, and I've been preaching that all afternoon. It's not necessarily about how you play. It is about winning.
Right.
You know, when you're an elite team and you're in a rut, there's no moral victories.
Right.
You know, like, there aren't moral victories. Pick up a win, and it makes a statement that, okay, I went into Tampa. We went into Tampa and beat the best team in the league.
Yeah.
A team that is cruising past everybody they play.
Right.
So we know we can dig ourselves out of it. Our backs are up against the wall. But not only are we going to dig ourselves out of it
right.
against any team, we're doing it against the best team in the league in their building.
Right.
Like, that's a perfect opportunity.
It's kind of
psychologically, it's a perfect pep talk. You know,
it is.
The Patriots are doing that right now. The Pats are trying to sell that they're underdogs.
Right.
Vegas would tell you that they are. Based on what we've seen throughout the season, our eye test would probably tell you that they are.
Right.
But history cannot allow me to get to that point. I cannot show pity to Belichick and Brady and the Pats because, oh, Lordy, I can't believe they have to go on the road and play in bad conditions against a very good team. I can't do it. But they're trying to convince themselves of that. It doesn't matter what I think about it. The Eagles all last year, they were the top seed in the NFC. Yes, their quarterback went down. They had a couple of other injury problems. But remember, they were wearing the dog masks, and it didn't matter if we ridiculed it externally. Internally, they believed they were underdogs. The Pats are trying to sell that to themselves right now. The Leafs are underdogs based on the standings
based
and in their building.
Exactly.
But you can really promote that and be like, let's go out there and punch these guys right in the face tonight and prove.
And make a statement.
We're bigger and better than this.
For sure.
So I'm looking forward to seeing their effort tonight. Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. This is a rarity. One game, the Leafs are paying 230. I'm on the Leafs tonight.
You are.
If you can find a single game bet, I'm on the Leafs tonight. I believe this team is better than they've been playing. I know they are. It's not going to be an easy test, but I got the Leafs tonight. And you can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. We want to give a shout out to our friends at T-Shirt Gang. They provided the bride and groom, Ashley and Chad, with some T-shirts. And we got a couple right here.
They were pretty cool.
These T-shirts are unreal. The boys on the Vegas Strip, the Overdrive crew.
You have to get a T-shirt. You know why? Just for the picture of O alone.
His most hated picture.
It
doesn't leave him. Like, I feel for the guy because it's like the They Did It Nailer clip.
Yeah.
It just follows me around.
There are so many things. That, I mean, we all have clips about us or whatever. That picture, 5 years from now, is still going to be lingering.
Yeah. Him in the blue suit. Was that Lloyd or Harry that was in blue? I think Harry was in blue.
Yeah, Harry was, not Lloyd.
Yeah, Lloyd was in orange.
Yes.
You were in the Lloyd Christmas
gear.
Yes,
I was in the Lloyd Christmas. Now, mine, I look just goofy. O looks goofy, and there's another layer to it.
Yeah, he looks like he had a big night.
He does.
Yeah. So, anyway, we got the shirts, and our friends Ashley and Chad, they got shirts as well. So, shout out to our friends at T-Shirt Gang providing the T-shirts. And you can find their website, tshirtgang.com. Raptors in action tonight. Kyle Lowry, as of earlier this afternoon, he wasn't playing because he played last night and he played okay. I mean, he doesn't look comfortable and fluid offensively. He still, you know, he took a step back three when they were pushing. They finally took the lead in the fourth and it was a forced shot. It was a brick and it went the other way. And all of a sudden Boston found momentum again. But he had just gone through an injury problem where he was out for 11 or 12 games with a back injury. And then I guess they woke up today and they're like, we're not playing him because we played in Boston. We're traveling back, night, you know, back-to-back game. But now apparently he's going.
Yeah.
Kawhi is not going, though. Like, it's in the end, it doesn't matter anymore because they can beat Phoenix with or without Kawhi. You lose tonight, you're still in a very good spot to finish in a top seed or top two or three seed in the East.
Right.
But I do wonder about, you know, the message it sends. Maybe it's not even about Kawhi. Maybe it says more about Kyle. You know, maybe it was, and I don't know. We'd have to find the audio. The audio has just recently come out, so I haven't been privy to it. But maybe it was Kyle who said, you know what, I'm playing tonight.
Right,
I'm not allowing you to make the decision that I'm not going to play. I don't want rest. I want to play. We lost last night. It's chewing away at me. I need to get my shot going again.
I kind of respect that.
And if that's the case, I really respect that.
It is. It's just also they may have identified that, hey, you're not going to be put at risk. Because, to be honest, if there's anything nagging for him, I don't want him to play tonight. Because it's more important, you know, you take two steps forward and four steps back if he ends up getting injured tonight.
Absolutely.
Like, what about the narrative? Say Lowry goes and plays tonight, and
he's
a question mark,
hero
mode, and all of a sudden, he's out for a month.
Yeah. Oh, then all of a sudden, he takes heat, but probably Nurse takes heat.
Their
Alex McKechnie takes heat, the head of the whole medical staff and the science and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the sports science group
sports
is
science.
Like, hold on a second here. We told you not to, and you fought your way through.
That's why I don't have a problem with Kawhi sitting out. I'm just saying it's inconsistent with now Kyle is playing,
right,
and he's actually had an injury this year that knocked him out for a long time.
Yeah.
Kawhi has missed a couple of games because of, you know, he rolled his ankle. I think it was in L.A., and I think he had, I don't know, some hip issues at some point. But Kawhi, it's just we made the decision when we acquired him. He's not playing back-to-backs. It's not going to happen. Yes, we could use him, but who cares? It's not going to take place.
Yeah.
Kyle's clearly come up with a different philosophy because he's not missing the game tonight. So Raptors-Suns down at Scotiabank. Leafs down in Tampa. A couple of big games tonight.
It will be great.
Tomorrow, we're going to start really looking ahead to championship weekend, AFC, NFC. Leafs in action tomorrow night in Florida.
I know. That one is, you can't look past that one because the Panthers haven't had a great year, but you know how things work. You sleep on them, and that's the one that gets you. You
right.
have a big win tonight, and then you fall asleep against a team that you should beat.
We'll cross that bridge when we get it
exactly.
tomorrow, but I don't think tonight is a trap game because they're worried about the Panthers tomorrow night.
No, not at all.
I find that hard to believe.
Yes.
Thanks again to Ashley and Chad, our new friends,
yes.
friends of the show, officially friends of the show, for being in studio and winning the Say I Do contest. They're off to Vegas with us in a month. As always, thank you to our friends at TripCentral.ca for providing the flights and accommodations.
Everything.
And we're down there in less than a month. Couple of big games tonight. Enjoy that. The O-Dog's out of here. Now we're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.